I personally donated a Honda Civic to public radio, and it felt great. It was actually really awesome. I'm Suzanne Bona. These vehicle donations, that adds up to about a week's pledge drive of fundraising. It couldn't have been easier. Literally, we got the phone call. They said, leave the keys in the car. And I came home from the radio station that day, and the car was gone. It was awesome. To donate your car, just go to WSHU.org.
President Biden has authorized a federal emergency declaration in response to this week's flooding in Connecticut. The move allows the state to get support from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, including crews and equipment. Governor Ned Lamont says there's still a lot of work to do to repair and reopen roads and keep people safe in the hardest hit areas. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Connecticut releases guidelines on cell phone use in schools. New York health officials will look into cancer rates in communities surrounding the Long Island plume. Aquarion asks some of its customers to limit water use after Sunday's flooding. And a long-awaited renovation of an East Hampton theater is finally complete. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's Department of Education is encouraging schools to keep students off their phones while in class this year. The department has released suggested guidelines for districts. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
The state isn't telling schools that they have to ban phones. Instead, they've released suggestions for each age group. The board suggests removing personal technology from the classroom in elementary and middle school and restricting its use in high school. Charlene Russell Tucker is the state's education commissioner.
As personal technology has become so integrated into daily life, the line between its benefits and potential harm has blurred, and especially for young people.
In New York, Governor Kathy Hochul says she's considering an outright ban on phones in the classroom. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The New York State Health Department says it'll study cancer rates in the Bethpage area. The recent discovery of buried chemical drums has renewed concerns about the health effects of contamination. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
State officials say the drums discovered this spring under Bethpage Community Park did not leak into the soil and are not a public health concern. But Health Commissioner Dr. James McDonald said the public would benefit from an updated review of cancer cases in the area. The last one, over a decade ago, did not uncover anything unusual. Military contractor Northrop Grumman used the area as a chemical dumping ground, leading to an underground plume of contamination. Local officials wrote to the health department this month, urging it to undertake the new study. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The Aquarion Water Company is asking some Connecticut residents to limit their water usage following Sunday's flash flooding. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
Aquarion says the water caused widespread flooding to well fields in Fairfield County and the Naugatuck Valley. An Aquarion spokesperson told Hearst Connecticut Media there's plenty of water in the state's reservoirs, but the equipment that supplies the water to wells is underwater. Aquarion says the affected areas include Newtown, Bethel, Oxford, Seymour, and Beacon Falls. The utility says people shouldn't use water to wash cars or water lawns, but the water is safe to drink. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
East Hampton's Guild Hall has reopened its theater after a 3-year renovation. That story is coming up in just a bit.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Oxford, Connecticut will delay the start of the school year after taking on the brunt of the rain on Sunday. Officials say there was limited damage to school buildings, but many of the roads in the area still remain closed. The first day was scheduled for next Wednesday. The district says the goal now is to begin the first week of September. 7 Suffolk County beaches are closed for swimming today after health officials discovered a spike in bacteria levels. Officials also advise against swimming at more than 20 other locations and say they don't yet have a timeline as to when the conditions will improve. A city worker in Bridgeport, Connecticut, is on trial for alleged ballot fraud in Mayor Joe Ganim's 2019 campaign. She may now face further criminal charges. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The State Election Enforcement Commission is referring Wanda Jita Pataki to prosecutors for more charges related to ballot stuffing. This comes after city surveillance video allegedly showed Jita Pataki and other campaign workers repeatedly using absentee ballot drop boxes before last September's mayoral primary in Bridgeport. Jita Pataki has been a central figure in multiple election controversies in Bridgeport. She was arraigned in Superior Court in June, along with a city councilman and two Ganim campaign workers. They were charged with unlawful possession of ballots in the 2019 Bridgeport mayoral elections. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
East Hampton's Guild Hall has reopened its theater after a three-year renovation. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar spoke to Executive Director Andrea Grover about the physical and cultural changes to the space.
Andrea, this hall is more than 90 years old. Tell me what the space stood for originally and for what these extensive renovations signify.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to turn back the clock to when Guildhall opened in 1931. It was one of the first multidisciplinary centers in the country. So by that, I mean combining a museum, a theater, and an education space all in equal weight and related to each other. There was a civic aspect to Guildhall from the very beginnings. So now jump forward 90 years. It was a total infrastructure replacement wherever it was needed. For the galleries, we needed bigger doors, we needed taller ceilings and more wall space, we needed an art handling and receiving area, we needed a better lighting system, and we wanted to bring in some natural light as well. Then in the theater, that meant that we needed a new way of presenting audio and video, better sight lines. So it really was about making the experience as accommodating as possible to today's artists, whether it's in performing or visual arts or hybrids of both.
I want to talk about the hall's evolution in terms of the subject matter that it embraces. Who are we seeing on the stage now versus nearly a century ago?
So we're not thinking of diversity as something that is an occasional, you know, we turn an occasional eye to, but that our program is more representative of who is in our community. So yes, you'll notice that we have a very broad range of performers and presenters this year. I think we sent a very positive message with having Billy Porter being the opener. Not only is he interdisciplinary, having won a Tony and an Emmy and a Grammy, multiples of those. Also, you know, he's a performer of color. He's also a queer performer. He's very open about being HIV positive and having, you know, had lots of kind of trials early in life. And this is all woven into the way he presents his art. So I think we're really looking at representation at Guildhall and making sure that we're balancing the scales in some ways.
This is a storied building, a storied space. Completely truthfully, tell me if you think it's haunted.
100%. I feel like the artists and performers of the past are all still part of Guildhall, whether that's, you know, just energetically or just a narrative that I like to imagine. You know, I walk through the building and I think, oh, Thornton Wilder was on our stage in his own production of Our Town, or Gwen Verdon and Bob Fosse were here during dance festivals. Alfonso Osorio used to hang the members exhibitions, which included people like Jackson Pollock and Lee Krasner. So that history of Guildhall is very palpable. And I think that artists today know it when they come into the building. They think, ah, this is the same wall that this legendary figure from art history had hung on, or this is the same stage that a great Pulitzer Prize winner, theater maker has stood on. There, it's a very special place that has paralleled art and performance history.
Okay, so haunted with a positive connotation.
Haunted in a good way. I say goodnight to the spirits at Guildhall when I'm the last one to leave.
Thank you, Andrea, for entertaining the question and for your time.
Thank you so much, Ada. This was great.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, they're all made possible with support from our listeners as well. So if you like what you hear, please consider making a donation to WSHU or even donating a car. All the info on how to do that is there for you on our website, which again is WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.